We'll get you. We'll get you there. I have a feeling there's going to be a couple amens today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for another grace-filled day you've blessed us with. We thank you for this incredible opportunity to come and worship and bring you praise. I pray, Lord God, as you speak not only to me but also through me, Lord, that we would be able to hear your word, receive it, and then walk out of here totally different, giving you praise in your precious name. I'm bitter about all Kansas City people. I'm just bitter. You can pray for me, but it's not going to work. But I got to get over it. We're starting a new series this week up through Easter. It's simply called Glorious. Glorious is the name of the series. So we're going to jump right in. If you have your Bibles, they're not going to be on your screen this week because we're looking at a very, very long passage. If you have your Bibles, you can also use your phone and jump onto that links tree or Bible app, all that good stuff. You can actually find us on the Bible app. If you click on events, it will pop up, and then you can actually follow along. But we're going to be in Exodus 33, where there's a long section I got to read here, so bear with me. Hopefully, I'll be able to read today. I did not bring my glasses, so we'll hope. Keep your fingers crossed. Exodus 33, starting at verse 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. It's almost like Moses is frustrated. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people, right? You can see that Moses, these people are getting his last nerve, all right? Verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? Great question. What else would distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? Verse 17, and then the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Verse 18, then Moses says, now show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on you, on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion, on whom I will have compassion. Verse 20, but he says, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord says, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, where my glory passes by. I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Verse 23, I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible word. We thank you, Lord God, what you have in store for us. We give you praise. Amen. Fellas, I'm going to talk to the fellas right now. Fellas, I don't know if you ever noticed this or no one told you this or no one ever told me this before I got married, but women have rules. And here's the... You lucky your wife ain't here. She in the back. I know exactly where she is. And here's the kicker. Most of these rules are unspoken. Amen. You know what I'm saying? And no one told me this when me and Tammy got married, that Tammy would have rules. And by the way, her definition of love is for me to figure out those rules. Without, you see what I'm saying? I do a whole bunch of amens today. And if I don't know the rules or if I break the rules, something is wrong with me. Amen, fellas? Amen. Preach. We got a Holy Spirit moment now. For instance, on date night, I didn't know there were these rules. I thought it was just us going out, having fun. It's date night. I didn't know there were these rules. Oh, yeah, about the rules. The rules can change at any moment. And they have no obligation in telling you that they haven't changed. No one told me this. And there's a couple rules that are on date night, right? It just can't be just like going to the movies and come back and do all that stuff. And they're, you know, when me and Tammy got married, when we started dating, they didn't have the cell phone, right? So you can't do the whole cell phone thing. And whether you realize this or not, here's another thing. Whether you realize it or not, the ladies are always keeping score. And you might think you're ahead, but you're actually far behind. Amen, ladies? You know exactly it is. And I remember on our first dates, in our first years of marriage, me and Tammy go out on the date. This is before the kids, and we were talking, and she asked me this question: what makes you feel most loved in our marriage? And I'm thinking like I do what any guy does. Instead of answering that question, or maybe not any guys, I was smart enough to just shove more food in my mouth to give me a little bit more time to think. And all of a sudden, a light bulb came on, and I realized the question she just asked me, she wants me to ask her that question. So I figured out how to transition this without actually answering the question. I said, okay, honey, you tell me, what is it that makes you feel most loved? I'm genius, right? And she began to tell me, and I couldn't believe my ears because the words that were coming out of my mouth were so far from how I feel like I would be loved. And ladies, you're like, duh, that makes sense. She said things I couldn't believe. She said one of the things, she says, I enjoy it. I love it when you ask me questions. Now, for a guy, that is the antithesis of love, right? If we get asked questions, we feel like we're grilled. We feel like we're being interrogated. But I said, let me try it. I began to ask her some questions. And a little things I figured out from Tammy and just asking some questions. I mean, like, this, I'm doing free marriage counseling right here. I noticed, and what she was saying is, Jermaine, I'm not just satisfied with you doing things. I'm not just satisfied you just being around. I want to know you. I want to know your person. I want to know you intimately. Now, for guys, when we think of intimately, we think of one thing, keeping it PG, okay? We think about one thing. That's what intimacy is for guys. For her, like one preacher said a long, long time ago, intimacy is just into me, you see. And what she was saying is, I want to know the inside of you. I want to know your pains. I want to know your struggles. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know what you're going through. I want to know what makes you laugh. I want to know what makes you cry. And like no guy wants to ever disclose any of that information. But that's what she was saying. She wanted to know me. And this may sound a little weird, but I think this is exactly what Moses is saying to God. When we come to Exodus 33, Moses has seen the promises of God fulfilled time and time and time after time. And Moses has also seen and experienced God's power. He's seen signs. He's seen miracles. But now Moses has this deep thing inside of him. You know, he's like, I don't know what this is, but he has something deep and down inside of him that he wants to see something that he's never seen before. So he musters up the gall, the courage, the know-how. He says, God, please show me your glory. Moses is the same guy that's seen the miracles and the plagues and all the water miracles. And look what it says in verse 18. It says that Moses says, now show me your glory. The word for glory in Hebrew is kavod. Everyone say kavod. Kavod. That means glory. It paints a picture, or rather gives an idea of heaviness or weightness. It's the weightness of the God. And the best word that we as can kind of define this, we come up with the word glory. And so simply put, glory is the essence of God. It is the innards of God. It is what makes God, God. So Moses says, man, I've seen the promises fulfilled, and that's been great. I've seen that the power demonstrated. I've even personally experienced your presence, but now I want to know you as a person. God has not yet, if you don't understand the Bible, God has not yet put on the Messiah yet. He hasn't come in the Messiah state yet. He hasn't put on flesh and blood and bones. Yeah, he has this desire to see the person of God. And God is so in love with Moses, he just loves this request. I mean, if I can imagine like God being giddy, like he's like, yeah, this is exciting. This is awesome. My boy Mo wants to know me. This is awesome. I mean, when was the last time you were giddy, right? Maybe when your child was born. Maybe you see your son or your daughter walk down the aisle. You're like, giddy. You're like, no more bills, you know. Or maybe when they get out of college or maybe as a grandparent, you see your first grandchild or your 10th grandchild, you're just like, you're giddy. I mean, we don't get giddy anymore. We just be giddy. You know what I'm saying? You know, everyone stand up. Everyone stand up. We're gonna pretend to be giddy. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. Go ahead, be giddy. Go like that. All right, go ahead, sit down. Some of y'all have a giddiness of like this. Yeah, okay. I'm giddy. Giddy, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, like the first kiss, you know, like when she says yes, like you're giddy, you know. Oh, but when she says no, the parents are like, yes, she said no. But God, even though he's giddy, he has to work in the confines or the context of the framework of who he is. And God says, man, if I bring all of my glory, Mo, I'm going to light. If you think the sun can give you a tan, or if you think looking and staring at the sun, you see those little dots, that's nothing compared to God. He is so bright and so radiant. He's so perfect. His holiness is so holy that he would decimate Mo. In verse 18, he says, then Moses says, now show me your glory. Show me your essence. In verse 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. There's a lot of things in there, but he's talking about the essence. And notice here, his goodness is connected to his mercy, his grace, and his compassion. That's why it says in Romans 2:4, his goodness actually leads us to repentance. So God comes up with a plan. He says in verse 20, but he's like so giddy about it. He goes, I figured it out. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. That's a whole big statement right there. I don't have time to dive in, but that is so. This place is a powerful place. Okay, it's talked about. Keep going. Verse 22. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cliff in a rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And so you have to understand something. God, and it's kind of hard to describe, but this whole idea about passing by. And Moses seeing God's, ultimately he's going to see his backside. He's actually not seeing the figure of God. It is so hard for us to understand. So what God has this plan, he says, hey, I'm going to put you in this rock. You can't see my face. You'll be able to see my backside. See, this says that in verse 25. The backside, what that means is like God has an afterglow. So essentially, he walks by, like just imagine God walking by here, and if I'm looking and God walks by, God's going to show me, even though God's over here, I can only see his afterglow, if that makes sense. You know, it's like if God had a trail, you know, like perfume, you know how some people like to put a lot of perfume or cologne on, you're like, they're over here, you still smell them. God's like, I can't show you me, I can only show you my afterglow. Moses' face, after he does this, Moses' face glows in the dark for days. I mean, just one glimpse of God's radiance and brilliance and holiness and perfection and beauty, Moses' face lights up. I mean, they actually tell Moses, put a bag over your head. We can't see. He's walking around, not just in the nighttime, but during the day. So it actually talks about how Moses puts on a veil so people can be around him. That's how awesome God's power is. If we fast forward to Hebrews 1, this should be on your screen. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the, he's talking about Jesus, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, his essence, and the exact representation of his being. In other words, Jesus is the essence of the image of God's person, for he is God. This is the greatest revelation on this planet of all time. There's always this debate. LeBron just hit 40,000 points. You know, there's always this debate. Who's the greatest basketball? There is no debate. What has been the greatest thing that's happened? Right here, it talks about this is the greatest revelation of all time on this planet that God, the invisible God, the almighty, the all-powerful God, puts on flesh and bone so that you and I can see him as Jesus. Jesus is the essence of who God is. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is enough. Or is he? As a pastor, I get told this quite often, not necessarily here, but whenever I've been a pastor, people have said, man, I want more of God. People say, I want more of God. I want more worship. I want more the manifestation gifts. I want to see the healings. I want to see the miracles. I want to see people waving flags, and all that is good and dandy and nice, but that's not God's glory. It's not. That may be some of his power. That may be some of his presence, but that's not God's glory. It's almost as when people say that to me, I'm thinking to myself, is Jesus not enough? The greatest revelation of all time is Jesus. The glory is the person of God, and the person of God is Jesus. Can be. Hear me on this. There's no greater revelation than this, than the pursuit of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I'll say that again because the people apparently in the back didn't hear me. We know this left side, they are deaf. Jesus is God. In Hebrews 11, this great passage, Hebrews 11, the author, we think it's Paul, maybe Luke, he writes out all these incredible heroes of faith, these incredible people who just like did some incredible things. God did some incredible things through them. Like he brings up a guy named Enoch. He brings up Noah. He brings up Abe, aka Abraham. He brings up Rahab and Sarah, and he brings up Mo. And there's a whole bunch of other ones. And at the very, very end of this long, incredible list, this like all-star team, this like Hall of Fame, in verse 40, it says this. It'll be on your screen. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. In other words, what the author is saying is there's something better, and the better is Jesus. It's almost as to say that when you look at all these heroes, and I believe this in the core of my being, that Moses, even though he was able to do some incredible things like drop down a stick and it turned into a snake and then he'd pick it back up or actually put it in the Red Sea and cross the Red Sea without being touched, that Moses and all these heroes of faith, they would trade any of that to be in our time today. You're like, what? But we struggle with this. People struggle with identity. People are doing this. You see what's on TV. I get that. I know that. But hear me on this. We have the greatest revelation of all time, which is Jesus. It's incredible. Moses is like, I don't really want to see his backside. I don't want to just see the sea splitting open. I want something more. I see his power and a demonstration, and I see his promises, but what Moses is saying, I just want Jesus. He's giddy about it. He's like, God is like giddy, and Moses is like giddy. I'm not going to have you stand up because I see some of y'all getting this. And be honest with you, some of y'all need some work on your giddiness. But anyway, it's all about Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:11 says this, "For if what is passing away was glorious." So this is what Paul does. This is so cool. Paul is referring to Mo. You know, the whole passing by? He's bringing that up. "For what is passing away was glorious." In other words, glory passed in front of Moses, but what remains is much more glorious. He's talking about Jesus. God is not just passing by. He remains in Jesus. You don't have to beg for him. You don't have to plead for him. You don't have to have some kind of blind hope. God, maybe, could you please visit us? Or God, can you just please, I'm begging you just to hear my prayer. God, can you just recognize me or see me? It says that God knows every hair on our head. There's been numbers, but I don't have this problem. Some of y'all don't have this problem. We lose about 100,000 hairs an hour. So some of y'all just sitting here already lost 100,000 of your hair. At any moment, you could have a different number of hair. Just think about that. You could have a different number of hair on your head, and God knows every single one of them. That's how incredible he is. Even my little stubble coming in. He knows it. He's glorious. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. His presence is here. And more important, his person, he is available to all. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. And I began thinking about this. We've been talking about this for quite some time, but I'm like, what if the rest of the year we just focused on Jesus? Now, I know that's hard because studies have said that our attention span is about 8 seconds, which is lower than a goldfish. That says a lot. You can put that in the side notes, just random information. But what if we really just focus on Jesus for a year? I'm just going to focus on Jesus. So all of us who've had veil removed, again, this whole idea with Moses, right? The veil being removed, can see. So he's talking about all of us. He's talking about the church. He's talking about them, and he's talking about us now. I love these next words, that all of us, we can now see and reflect. We can see it, right? I can see it, but I'm being so changed by the holiness of God that now I reflect it. I'm reflecting what? The glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we change into his glorious image, man. I think about this. Christ's church is called to reflect. You and I are called to reflect the Lord our God. That's and on top of that, Paul gets really, really crazy. And I talked about this. Not only do we have this thing that we can see and reflect him, somehow Christ actually lives inside of us when we say yes to him. His glory, God's essence, is available to all by the way of Jesus. We got this message that we just don't read, but somehow, some way, it actually is inside of us. God says, man, you got to share this with everyone, with your loved ones, with your neighbors, your coworker, your barista, your family member, the person, a person that you don't like, the person that you really like, whomever it is, you've got to share it with all. This is why we did this whole series, this initiative called One Life. In the back, you can see those chalkboards. People, we had this kind of moment last week. If you were here last week, we just asked people to put their name, a name of their one, on the chalkboard as a commitment, saying, okay, I'm declaring, I'm going to be intentional. I'm not just going to pray for that person. I want to actually be intentional and share God's goodness. The thing that God has put somehow, some way, lives inside of me, which is Jesus. I want to share that with other people. I want to let people know about this incredible person, the essence of God's glory is Jesus. I got to show him. I got to tell him. It's changed my life. This is also why we do different things in our community. A couple things that we have coming up. One of these up on our screen, we have this thing called, I think it's called a bingo night. Well, no, we'll go to the bingo night first. All right, bingo night. This is something new. We've got some people. We need a few more people, but check this out. The school is going to let us come in the 23rd, the 22nd, 22nd, right? 22nd? 22nd. The 22nd and have games and have a bingo night with families in the community. Just to be there, just to let them know who we are. We're not trying to sell anything. We just want to love on them. We have some prizes. It's going to be a bingo night. It's going to be a fun night. Families will be able to come, and the school is like, you want to do that? That's awesome. We would love for you to come in and do that. We need some of y'all willing to donate some of your time. You don't have to donate prizes. We already got some prizes. We already got figured it all. You just need to be here, maybe just love on people, answer some questions, maybe invite them to the next thing we have, which is the other slide. So on Palm Sunday, we're doing something different. We're having a family service. Our hope and our prayer is that we could be outside. We're going to have an outdoor worship service. It's going to be for the entire family, not just the little kids. It's going to be for the entire family. You're going to have fun. We're going to worship. A message is going to be preached about God's good news. We're going to invite the community to come involved. Normally, we get several hundred people that come on a Saturday, so we're flipping them up. We're tricking people. We're going to get them here on Sunday. I ain't ashamed of it. Pastor, you're tricking people. Yep, and? They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the gospel. They're going to interact with some of you. We're going to be hopefully outside. And there's going to be games. There's going to be fun. But there's also going to be like adult fun too. Because then someone's like, I don't do Easter egg. Even though I saw like all of the young adults here doing the crayon color day and stole crayons for the kids, I know who you are. Sit over there. I'm just kidding. But this is an opportunity for us to get in the community. And a lot of times we try to drag people to church, right? So we're going outside the walls and we're like, hey, we want people to come. We're calling the big day, whatever you want to call it, but we need people to help and serve. And so in the back, before you leave here, there's a whole bunch of opportunities to serve. You're going to be here anyway. It's Palm Sunday. The first Palm Sunday, they didn't call it Palms. They didn't know what it was. But it was all fixated on who? It's all fixated on Jesus.
God.
And so, on that day, all of our attention is going to be on Jesus. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some worship. We're going to have food. I think hot dogs, right? Hot dogs. See, I don't do everything. There's other people that are much smarter than me. But we need your help. Not only do you need to come, we want you to invite. We not only want you to come and invite, we want you to also participate and serve. What a great way to serve our community. More importantly, what a great way to serve our Lord and King. I'm going to invite our worship team up, our worship duo, Father, Son. Here's the thing. I have noticed this tendency in my own heart. There are times in my life I look to the other as opposed to looking to Jesus. Sometimes those things might be qualified as good things. I need to serve here. I need to help this church do all that stuff. I need to serve. I need to bring coffee. I need to help with the setup team. I need to find us a location because, you know, the whole thing that's going on. I need to do this. I need to do this. And I could get so caught up in doing instead of just worshiping and praising my Lord and King, because that's where the glory ain't over here. The glory's over there. It's Jesus. Jesus is enough. Ooh, some of y'all, I'm not sure. Maybe. Jesus is enough. And so my challenge for you today, simple. How about we focus on the glory of God and just simply focus on Jesus? I know there's a lot of things coming down the road. It is 2024. It is an election year. We need to be focused on Jesus. Just saying. There's a lot of things that are going on in your world. There's a lot of things. A lot of people are sick or painful and going through some painful times. I get that. I don't want to ignore any of those things. But our hope and our prayer is that we need to focus on Jesus, because Jesus is enough. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can live in a time where the greatest revelation has happened. It's Jesus, you coming. You coming for your people. Lived this perfect life, was ridiculed, mocked, spat on, beaten, whipped, stabbed, Lord God. Hung up on a cross. These long nails taken out and driven in your hands and your feet. The angels are probably looking out. Why are you letting them do that to you? Just call us. We'll be there in a second. No. I got to do this. This is my glory. Yes, I got to put my life online. I've got to let these people that I love deeply to actually kill me, because I will rise from the dead. I will defeat the sting of death. Oh, man, that's glory. And so we thank you, Lord God. We pray ahead of time, as we're in March and Easter is a few weeks away, Lord God. I pray for favor. I pray for those that we are starting to pray for, that they would not just come, but they will most importantly hear about your glory, about hope, about you, and their lives radically change. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that as we go out of this place, we will honor you with our words, with our thoughts, and our actions. And that we glorify you in everything that we do. We give you praise in your precious name. Amen.